We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, we missed out on it yesterday. The people, especially on Twitch, they need the bass drop. Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
If this story is true and they did have a conversation and this is going to be his last game coaching the Bears owe him to say something, and it can't just be him who has to answer these questions. To me, this is something that organizationally you have to come out and say something about, even if it's a statement, even if the statement is one sentence. We saw the report of Patch.com. We have made no decision about the head coaching future of Matt Nagy, period. They kind of left him twisting in the wind on this, and that seems to be unfair. The other part of it, let's talk from purely a football standpoint. The idea of you can't fire someone on a short week, that's conventional football wisdom. I would say, though, they do have someone who actually has been a head coach who works for them in Mike Pettine. You already earlier this year had a week when the coach wasn't available. And while the team didn't win, they functioned, which is all you're talking about.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. There is a lot of Bears stuff for us to discuss. I would hope that you will be able to understand that I might have to talk in code a little bit today on some things. But I will say, man, Matt Nagy doesn't have a lot of great people around him professionally. And it's too bad. It's too bad that sometimes, like, you give people opportunities and then you would think that their loyalty would be one way and then it's not quite that. Dan Durk is going to join us in our ordinary spot, which is coming up in the next segment. The thing is that Durk reached out to Herbie last night and said, do we really need to break down film this week? Can we talk about some bigger picture issues? And Herbie's like, sure, let's do that. We will talk about bigger picture issues. Jason Leisure is getting ready to board a flight to Detroit. He covers the Bears. We are going to talk to him at 1 o'clock. I am also going to put together my list of Chicago leverage. Coaches who will be able to leverage the Bears' job to get broke off significantly. I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 names. And maybe you can add names to the list that I haven't thought of. But I've got 11 names here that are very much looking forward to using the Chicago leverage, our favorite sports team. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to spend some significant time trying to figure out schematically what the Bears have done and haven't done and what that tells us about the tenure of Matt Nagy. Dan Durkin will help us do that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year.
Let's go into the film room with Dan Durkin.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man.
Dan breaks down every Bears game like no other.
I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm going to evaluate myself and see where I was. And then if there's any drops in there, those guys are going to hear it. I'm going to get on them.
Lawrence Holmes with Dan Durkin now on 670 The Score.
Actually, pretty decent film.
Dan Durkin is our film guy. He joins us every Wednesday to break stuff down. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas has the best and biggest sports book in the world. You should go there and hang out the next time that you're in Vegas. Like I said, Dan is our film guy. We lean on him to break stuff down, tell us the things that are going on in Bears games. He doesn't really want to talk about last week's game, and I can't blame him, especially since there's another game that's coming right up, which really doesn't seem to matter. So I want to open the conversation with you, Dan, and here's the thing. There's plenty of time for us to talk about Matt Nagy and the things that have been limiting factors in his success. What about his boss, Ryan Pace? What are the things that you feel like during his tenure as GM and his connection with Nagy we've learned about Ryan Pace?
Thanks for the opportunity, Lawrence, number one, and happy pre-Thanksgiving. And, you know, I think that people cannot lose sight of the fact that all roads of this mess point back to Ryan Pace. It's just this team has talent issues and they have coaching issues. And the person who generally manages the decisions that are made about the players on the field and the coaches that are coaching them is Ryan Pace. And so when I go back and I look at the opportunities he has had as a general manager, I'm flummoxed. I want to know what spell he has cast over people to think that he is still doing an adequate job, that he should fall up in the organization. So since he's been around, I've gone through how many people have been in role as long as Ryan Pace in terms of a general manager, and there are 13 general managers in the league that fall into this category. Ryan shares company with all of them. They have all made the playoffs. All 13 of them have led their teams to the playoffs. Only two of them have not led their teams to a playoff win. Ryan Pace is one of those two. He joins Mike Brown of the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8 of them have won a conference championship. Ryan Pace has not. 1, 2, 3. 8 of them have won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, 7 of them have won a Super Bowl. Ryan Pace has not. So what are we holding on to in terms of this guy hasn't had enough of an opportunity to get the team in a position to do any of the things that I just talked about? And then couple this on top of it. Ryan came in, and I went back and listened to his opening press conference a couple weeks ago and just laughed. This guy was talking about stacking drafts together and being a draft-driven team, and then you take inventory of all of his, you know, the trade-ups that he's made, and he's squandered draft capital. But there have been six teams that have had the same opportunity as the Bears and Ryan Pace. Four picks, four times they've selected in the top 10 since Ryan Pace started calling the shots in 2015. Those teams are the Jaguars, the 49ers, the Giants, the Jets, the Bears, and the Browns. And when you look at these teams and what they've done with it, Lawrence, would you like to have Jalen Ramsey on your team? Would you like to have Leonard Fournette on your team, or maybe DeForest Buckner or Nick Bosa or Saquon Barkley or Leonard Williams or Jamal Adams or Quinnen Williams or, let's see, Miles Garrett? These are the same opportunities that Pace has had and he's missed. What has his lot been? Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Mitchell Trubisky, and Roquan Smith. One hit out of four. Why do people lose sight of the fact that he is very much at the center of all of this? It's just an open-ended question that I just continually grapple with, and I don't understand why people can't see that.
I find myself in the same place that you are. Those people will talk about, well, what about the hits that he's made in the late rounds of the draft? Your retort would be?
Nick Kwiatkowski plays for another team. Adrian Amos plays for another team. You know, like who else are we talking about here? Bilal Nichols, fringe player. Yeah, you know, like, name it. Jordan Howard, he plays for another team. Like, who are we holding on to here that we're propping up in this high of regard? Larry Borum, yeah, he looks a little promising there. Like, what are we talking about? When you have an opportunity to literally change the trajectory of your franchise by selecting somebody, you have all the time in the world to prepare for this. Think about how few scenarios you need to prepare for when you're drafting in the top three or the top seven. You can really understand how the board breaks. That, to me, is the stuff that's inexcusable. What type of energy and calories and dollars are you and your scouting staff spending to come up with the conclusion that Kevin White is the best player for our team at this point in time? It's that type of stuff that just completely diffuses a team. Hitting late in the draft, that's fine. Now you're talking about the middle to the back of a roster. This team has problems at the top of the roster. You just can't lose sight of that. Stars matter in this league. In instances where you can't score in the red zone, that comes down to, we trust our best player here to go up and make a play for us. Who's that dude for the Bears? You're going to tell me you haven't been able to surface that guy in 7 years? I inherently do not understand that mentality at all.
And I know that it's simple math, and people might get frustrated with it, but also the idea of hanging on to Jimmy Graham and then losing Kyle Fuller, in part because you're hanging on to Jimmy Graham, who's a player who got, what, 12 snaps in last week's game? It's stuff like that that makes me question if he understands how to put a football team together, and what is it that you value?
Correct. And, like, not only that, like, okay, what he's done a lot of this where he picks a position of focus to go after in the off season, and then, you know, like, you got Cole Kmet at the same time. Why are you throwing jump balls for Jesper Horsted in those situations then? You know what I'm saying? It's like you spend $10 million on Jimmy Graham and you spent the number 50 or whatever it was pick on Cole Kmet. Those are the guys you should be using in that instance. And then what you also are signaling to people is you have internally evaluated Kendall Vildor as a viable option for you opposite Jalen Johnson. That's the type of stuff that these pieces connect, and this is how they connect. If this, then that. If we keep Jimmy Graham, the consequence is we get rid of Kyle Fuller. And then what happens to that is Kendall Vildor becomes a starter on our team. What have we seen? You and I talk about it every week. If I was an opposing offensive coordinator, I would throw at that dude literally every time I was calling a dropback pass. It's just the way that it is. It's those types of things that hamstring a defense. You can immediately nullify any rush you are getting up front if you know you can't cover in the backfield. And if you know you can't cover in one specific part of the defensive backfield, good offensive coordinators are going to go after it. So it's that type of roster mismanagement that has just put this team in this situation over and over and over again.
I agree with you. Dan Durkin joining me here on The Score as we're talking about the Bears and how they find themselves in this position in a big way because of the general manager, even though the focus has been on what's going on with the head coach. I think it's a pretty easy decision for the Bears to go ahead and fire Matt Nagy at the end of this, or at if you wanted to do it Sunday night or Monday, and we'll see if they end up, if the reports are true and they end up doing something on Monday, which would be weird. You should probably just do it on Friday if you want to get rid of Matt Nagy. But I'd love to know the things that when you zoom out on Matt Nagy, the head coach, where are the failures as you see them?
I just think general situational game planning, Lawrence, has just always been a thing. And I go back to we were at the Biltmore at the owners meeting. And, you know, we went, we're all at the table, it's me, Weider, and Brad, and, you know, Kevin Fishbane and others. And we're holding court with Matt. And, you know, he went, we had some football-y conversation, and then it went down to him showing us, like, emojis of him and Andy Reid. And I'm like, I'm sorry to break this up, but can we go back to, like, some clock management? I'm like, I feel bad asking this, but, like, I went into that because, like, it was even an issue his first year in the league. And so when I think about, as a coach, and I think about coaches that I've been a part of, you have to really kind of simplify it. It's like, how many down and distance situations do you need to prepare your team for? It's about a dozen, you know, first and 10, second and one to six, second and, you know, seven plus, all the third down scenarios, you know, third and one, one to three, four to six, seven to 10, 10 to 15, fourth and one and two, you know, fourth and three to, you know, like all, you break it down. It's about 12 different scenarios. So that narrows down like the, how you're using your practice time. And then you think about field position scenarios. Are we backed up in our area? Are we in between the 20s? Are we in the high red zone? Are we in the low red zone? And then you think about the game scenario. Are we tied? Are we behind? Are we ahead? Is it a 2 minute end of half? Is it 2 minute end of game? And then you think about the special situation. Two point situations, fourth down in the red zone, last play of the game from the 30-yard line and in, last play of the game from 50. It's this type of stuff that you need to have, and you need to dedicate practice time to do that so it doesn't look so uncoordinated when the situation actually happens. And it's happened time and time and time again. This, to me, is the one of the bigger things that shows he is in over his head. You need to prepare your teams for these situations, and you need to simplify it for them. Make it easy. All right, we can eliminate this because we're not in this field position. Hey, we can eliminate this because we're winning. We can eliminate these types of things. But, you know, it's that type of stuff that eases the thinking for your players. And another thing that I want to always, like, you know, kind of to emphasize to people, it doesn't matter what coaches know when plays are being played. It matters what your players know. So what you are imparting to them in those scenarios, you are now reliant on them to actually execute. So the more you can keep them focused on where are we at in the game, where are we at in the scoreboard, where are we at in the field, all of those things make them able to react more and think less on the field. And I just think more often than not, you have seen this team confused when it comes to substitutions. You have seen this team confused when it comes to, do we call a timeout here? See him confused. Do we go for two or one here? And that to me is just it's such an indictment of Matt Nagy.
Yeah, that was really frustrating to watch Sunday, where if you were holding out hope that Matt Nagy was going to mature into like a sideline CEO and that could be his calling card or reason why you would keep him around, I thought the evidence was pretty clear and damning that he is not capable of doing that. And the fact that we're into year four is really frustrating that those things continue to happen. And it also allows me to question your staff too, because someone should be able to help with this, and yet no one seems to be in a position to do it. Now that goes on Matt too. That goes on the people that he hired to be a part of the processing that goes on in real time during a game. There don't seem to be a lot of people that he can consistently count on.
I agree. And you're getting to kind of like delegation. That comes down to trust. And that comes down to really having a clear plan of decision-making. Like, who is authoritative here? Who is the one that doesn't have to come to me like, hey, coach, I'm thinking about doing this. It's like, do it. You have my trust and you have my buy-in to do that. But you know, your point about being like the CEO is so important, and I think it's worth kind of like digging into here a little bit. When you're alleviated of one of the larger strains on your time and the processing you need to do during the game to call plays, when that's taken away from you, you now have a lot more time to think about exactly what I was just talking about. Where is my team at? What did we prepare for that's working? What did we not prepare for? Like, hey, we were looking for them to run this personnel grouping a little bit more. This, they're not doing it. How are we going to adjust? It's that type of stuff that you would think that they would be better at, but they're worse and like or the same. And like, it's just not good enough. You think about how poor this team is coming out of the half. It's like, what are you doing at halftime? This team's 0-4 off the bye week. What are you doing to prepare this team? And so to me, it's like, with more preparation, the team is worse. And that, to me, just speaks to coaching and a lack of it.
There's a new rule now that allows teams to interview folks for their head coaching jobs in the last couple of weeks of the season. I think the Bears should take advantage of this. The only problem is, to do that, in my world, you also have to fire the general manager, because I don't want him interviewing head coaching candidates for the Bears. Do you think that 2 weeks, does it make a difference at all in trying to find who the next head coach would be?
Yeah, I think it's really crucial. And I think that you would miss out on knowing that this fait accompli, whenever it's going to actually happen, as far as Nagy and then hopefully Pace as well, you need to take advantage of all of those little opportunities that the NFL affords you. And so in this particular instance, what you're talking about is take advantage of that extra time that you have to go out there and speak with a Brian Daboll, speak with a Kellen Moore, speak with a Byron Leftwich, speak with an Eric Bieniemy. Find out what these guys are all about now, because maybe that's going to help you funnel down your candidate pool a little bit more. Maybe some guy goes up, maybe some guy goes down. So these types of mechanics are going to be much easier if your head coach is out of the way. But that Pace thing that you just talked about is going to be very interesting to see how they handle that particular that decision. And I hope it's not a fall up in the organization scenario.
I want to talk about this in the context of Justin Fields, and you and I are probably in lockstep on development issues with Justin Fields, on how the Bears kind of screwed this up from the beginning. But to give the Bears fan who's listening an idea of where we're coming from, how did they not, in your opinion, what were the missteps that they made going into this season with Andy Dalton versus Justin Fields?
I think the fact that you couldn't curate a small set of plays for him that you know, him being Justin Fields, that would work, and that was so put on evidence when he was thrust into the starting position earlier than they wanted against the Cleveland Browns, where you're running an offense that, you know, a multi-year veteran in the NFL would probably still have a little bit of difficulty with. So again, that comes back to preparation. What are you doing to sit down with him and say, hey, Justin, when we looked at you at Ohio State, we really liked your ability to max protect, you know, find the deep over, or find that, you know, the Adino route, those types of things. What did you guys call this play? Well, we called it this, coach. Cool. We call it this, and this is the adjustment we have. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to put those little check marks, like, he's got this concept down. He's got this concept down. So you don't need 150 plays for him. Maybe it's 40 or 50, and then you work from that, and you build that as the foundation. And then you add in his dynamic athleticism and his ability to say, hey, I didn't like the read, or I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. He can tuck the ball and run. So not having design runs put in there, not booting and understand how much better he does on the move with leveled concepts above him, not going to more max protect, not moving the pocket. It's all of those types of things that you had on tape that Ryan Day showed that he is so effective with, that you couldn't have that. It's like, if you needed to develop a second offense, so to speak, for him, do it. He's the future of your franchise. His success is far more important than any ordinary season you're going to get out of Andy Dalton. So the fact that they didn't do that is a problem. And then the compounding that is, you know, there's some sort of inevitability when it comes to either the team's not going to perform or the quarterback could get hurt. Give him more reps with the people he should be throwing to at that point in the season. He still doesn't seem to have the timing down with Allen Robinson. He does with Darnell Mooney. He does with Jesper Horsted. They're trying to get that stuff in there. And Jesse James, people like that. You have to give him chances with the people who you hope to be the ones that are actually going to make plays for you. So when I think about it schematically, you did not curate the right set of plays for him, problem number one. And problem number two, you didn't give him enough time to work with the people who you thought were going to be the anchors of your offense.
Dan, as always, I appreciate the time. I like this. I like where you weren't just connected to the film, that you were out here with some thoughts. I enjoy it. And I imagine that
it's always that way. Yeah. Well, you know, I've covered this team for a long time and been a part of it. And I mean, I love the X's and O's, but when you reach these inflection points like this, you have to zoom out. You know, I come back to like Cody Westerlund, like when I first started writing for 670, you know, we reached a point in the season where Cody gave me some good advice. He's like, hey man, I think people are going to be tuned out to what's going on the field. Like their thoughts are in a different place. So you kind of need to move with them. I have a lot of thoughts about how this team has been mismanaged, and I think it's really unfortunate. So I hope, with all of that being said, people have a wonderful Thanksgiving and they can enjoy tomorrow still, despite what's happening with the team they root for.
I hope for you the same thing, sir. We will talk soon. Thanks so much for the segment today.
Be well, Lawrence. Take care.
That is Dan Durkin with a flamethrower today. At DJ Durkin is where you can follow him. The All-22 review is on YouTube. It's fantastic. I want to ask you about the Bears and Thanksgiving. I'll do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Glad that you are hanging out. One of the best reporters I know is Jason Leisure. He will join me at 1 o'clock. We will talk with him about what's happening with your Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy, and he will give us a sense of what Halas Hall was like yesterday and the things that he expects going forward. And for me, it's someone texted, and I want to respond. I responded to this person, but I also would like to share it with you and also respond to it. This person texted me and is so funny, because I think that it's odd that because someone has failed at something that we can't treat them as adults with our criticism, but also as human beings. This texter said, "Stop it, Holmes. Nagy was given all the opportunity to succeed and he failed." And I said to him, "Where exactly am I supposed to be stopping? I agree. But that doesn't mean that we should just ignore the other people that have failed him." Now, some of that is his own choosing. It's the staff that you bring about. It's the people that you bring in that you think can help bring clarity. But some of it is above him. All I'll say is that there have been a lot of people that have talked out of school and didn't realize that other people were listening. And I don't think that he's had the best support system organizationally or even inside of his own staff in that regard. There's a lot of crabs in the barrel type stuff happening. But I hope, my goal is that there is nuance in all of these conversations, that we should be able to say, Matt Nagy's not good at coaching. And while looking at all of the things that prove to us that he's not good at coaching, also understand that there are outside forces at play too. That there are things that are out of his control. The things that were in his control, he didn't handle very well, which is why he's going to be fired. But we also don't have to treat him like if he were a garbage human being, fine. But there's been no evidence that that is the case. I will reserve some judgment, though, because if Hub's reporting is true about George McCaskey being the one pushing for Justin Fields, because why wouldn't he? I would understand someone going, did they sabotage that kid with some of the game plan choices that they made? Were they trying to prove a point? I would understand that. But as it stands, there doesn't seem to be enough evidence to don him a garbage human being that shouldn't be treated with the discussion being nuanced. I understand that you think that sports radio is always, I don't mean you listening, I mean this particular person, that sports radio is supposed to always be fire and brimstone. When it is appropriate, I bring the driver out of the bag. You don't have to do it all the time. And if you're so limited in how you want sports discussed, this is not the right show for you. Jason Leisure will join me next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.